Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Short so I can play something. My speakers aren't working good tonight. So I'm going to have to play it on my phone. So hold on a minute. I'll go back to the song until I get it loaded. Thank you for joining us, Albert. We have Don and Albert on the line. I'm going to play a short clip of less than eight minutes. Humanity's major transition from the age of Aquarius, Pisces to Aquarius. These incidents happen every 2,150 years. The age of Aquarius is not part of astronomy. It's an astrological age which occurs because of a real motion of the earth known as the precession of the equinoxes, which, for example, causes the identity of the pole star to change over time. The cycle of precession lasts 25,800 years, and there are 12 constellations in the zodiac. So roughly every 2,150 years, the sun's position at the time of the March or vernal equinox moves in front of a zodiac constellation. The age of Aquarius begins when the March equinox points moves out of the constellation, and in this current age, Aquarius transitioned in 2012. Will the coming era be a time of peace, love, and brotherhood, as some might suggest, or will it bring about an Orwellian-type age, a police state where men and women become more than cogs in a bureaucratic timeline? If history is any guide, the truth will probably be more complex than we expect or imagine. After all, the Piscean Age that lasted 2,000-plus years brought us Jesus Christ and the Inquisition. I can't talk tonight. Brought us Jesus Christ and the Inquisition, not to mention televangelist Jimmy Swaggart. To help us make more sense of these unfolding complexities, let's look briefly at a few key symbols and archetypal themes associated with both eras. By the way, the age of the Aquarius is supposed to bring forth spiritual transparency and spiritual searching. Listen to this clip.
My Leo. Astrology is an ancient art and science dating back thousands of years. It appears in many cultures, but as with most ancient wisdom, much of it has been concealed and forbidden from the public viewing. Secret societies, both those whose hearts are grounded in the goodwill of all of humanity and those driven by greed, personal gain, have also used this type of ancient knowledge. From Atlantis to ancient Sumer, Vedic astrology to ancient Greece, Rome and Egypt, many great minds throughout the ages have practiced astrology, and for good reason. Despite its many skeptics, astrology has much to offer. It's also important to mention here that many of our founding fathers of modern science, especially in the fields of mathematics and physics and quantum physics, were all spiritual mystics. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla. A New Age astrology speaking, where man began at the dawn of Christianity. Prior to this, we had the secret societies, concepts like the Philosopher's Stone and other magical concepts, including the use of magic and sorcery. With the advent of Christianity, the concept of God took their place. Yet more recently, concepts that were used and practiced prior to the beginning of modern-day religion have been emerging once more, which is interesting because we are at the end of an age and transitioning into a new one. There is discrepancy among experts where exactly we are, but most seem to agree that we are in a very important transition period. In Western astrology, we are transitioning from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. In ancient Vedic astrology, we are at the beginning of the end of a 300 cycle, currently living in the transition period at the end of the Kali Yuga age. The Vedic doctrine also tells us what Western astrology philosophies do and correlates with the cycles described by ancient Native American wisdom as well. They tell us we are living in the age of darkness, also described in the Mahabharata, a time where mental capabilities reach their lowest point and moral virtue is stripped from the earth. As independent researcher Bibhu Dev Misra writes, when the world's soul is full of blackness and corruption and only a small fraction of virtue remains, it slowly dwindles to zero. At the end of the Kali Yuga, men turn to wickedness, disease, lethargy, anger, anguish and fear of scarcity dominate, penance, sacrifices, and religions. These descriptions accurately reflect our society's progression as we move through modern history, this past age, which has lasted approximately 2,100 years, is coming to an end. A conclusion marked by a time when global tensions have never been so high. During this age, humanity has indeed experienced the most darkness, and so it seems, the more ancient a civilization, the more spiritually and technologically advanced they might have been. Also interesting because, after this age ends, we will be cycling back to the beginning of an age that hasn't been seen since the time of great knowledge and understanding of the spiritual sciences, mysticism, consciousness, and non-ism in general. This all seems to be part of a massive shift in collective consciousness that is going on today. Carl Jung's explanation. Dr. Jung writes,
I'm going to stop there. Another video I watched said that it's a time of individual spiritual quests and a time of transparency and shedding of knowledge. So I'm going to gather the thoughts of Wade, Albert and Don, as I bring each person in. Hi, Wade.
Hey, Jane. Pretty interesting.
How's it going tonight?
I'm doing good. I just cut off work, so Good timing.
You're gonna
and
regroup
I had
a little
to call in.
You're going to regroup a little? It's only going to be a 45-minute show tonight, so don't stress. Okay?
Oh, that's okay. I mean,
good evening,
I could have lied and...
hey, what's up?
We're fine. Thanks for being prompt. I'm excited to hear your guys' ideas tonight. And Don Gallimore, you're the third wheel in this transitional period of history.
Yes, I am, and right in the middle of it. How's everybody doing?
Doing all right.
So I think I want to say one thing, and then I'm going to let Wade go first, and then Albert. When you look at blocks of time in history, like a whole 2,000 years, like that's a pretty big block of time. Like, you know, it goes all the way from the death of Christ through the modern nation states and, you know, massive killings and wars. So it's pretty hard to comprehend that all in one nutshell. But the one thing that I want to point on tonight is that this age of Aquarius, when the equinoxes transition with the polar region to create a new focus on a new constellation, it also correlates with a large number of blood moons that have been appearing in the last 10 years. So people have looked to the stars for prophecy and answers for a long time. And as Christians know, there's going to be an Armageddon, but there's also going to be a lot of other types of great awakenings and mergings of the economy. So, Wade, why don't you go first and Albert second, and then we'll just kind of talk about cool things instead of politics. Wade,
well,
what's your opinion
like
of this current age?
It sounds like a good break, and I like the idea of, like, kind of stepping back and the big picture, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, I could have lied and said, oh, you know, I've whatever, but, you know, this has sounded interesting. I'm like, I don't want to miss this. I think hopefully, well, yeah, studying, you know, I don't think we're any worse than any other age, or I hope we're not a whole lot better, but I hope we can get better. That's the hope. And I like the idea, you know, I don't get into astrology. I'm kind of afraid to get into it too much about, like, the details about my horoscope and stuff.
Against biblical truth. The Bible says do not consult sorcerers.
Yeah, and it's kind of a tricky thing because, well, one, I think if I did it too much for my personal life, like, I could imagine, like, I would get pretty fascinated and I could easily get really caught up in that stuff. I know, you know, how things will captivate my imagination, but also I think, like, there's the factor of, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I think a big part of me would believe it, but sometimes I think believing it kind of makes it true, because especially, like,
if they say, like, you're going to strike it rich tomorrow, then you're going to start looking for signs to strike it rich.
Yeah, you look
right?
for things that confirm it, right? And especially, like, okay, it says this is the kind of person you are. And, you know, like, you could do a test and mix up the and tell people, okay, this is your horoscope, and give them the wrong one. And people will still, oh, okay, because you can always find connections, right? You can always find things. So I try not to let it influence me too personally, but I like... I'm very interested in the idea of, like, huge, huge epochs of time, you know, 2,000 year periods. Like, that's fascinating. I've always wanted to learn more about the Inca calendar and stuff like that. And I remember hearing how
in another video is a lot of those ancient civilizations all had those same kinds of, well, for example, the Greeks did a lot of space studies, and they're I'm having a brain issue tonight, but the group of people that discovered the constellations, I believe, was the Greeks. So I don't know how much weight you can put on animal and human figures in the sky, but it seems like the constellations have been sort of a guideline. And I was watching a Christian episode, and this Christian guy was talking about the blood moons, and he said that the Star of David, which led the wise man to the birth of Christ, like they left 2 years early, and then the signs were pointing to that star in the sky that appeared, that special star for the birth of Christ. But they were guided towards that, but the epiphany of the whole significance of Christ didn't really happen until his death 33 years later, when he rose from the dead. So a lot of people had hunches about the Messiah, but they didn't really know the significance till his death. So a lot of these signs in the skies and the earth and the moon are signs for what's to come. Well, let's hear from Albert or Don now.
Sure, you know, I mean, back in the days, you know, I mean, they talked about, oh, the shooting star, make a wish, you know, then now it's, you know, now we know it. Now you know what it is, right? And, you know, so, I mean, you got the Mayan calendar. Yeah, the Mayan calendar ended. And, oh, you know, some people thought, oh, it's the end of the world. It's the Mayan calendar, it's going to end. It's going to be it. No, no. Oh, okay. And then you got Y2K, 2000, the year 2000. No, nothing. You know, electronics go down. Nuclear bomb's going to go. Everything's going to start working. No, just another, you know, I mean, people are afraid of change, you know, and I mean, and you know, and not to say bluntly, right? I'm not saying everybody's afraid of change, and no, you know, I mean, I would say most people are afraid of change, or maybe all people are afraid of change in a small, minor way, unnoticeable, and maybe more than others. One thing's for sure, right? I mean. In most cases, people don't like change. You know, they see something new and, you know, they don't like it. You know, and but the thing is, sometimes no matter how bad it is, they get used to it. Like, say, if the government's spying on everybody, right? I mean, nobody likes to be spied on. Nobody wants to have a camera on their face. You know what I mean? You know, and all this private information of them. Everybody's got something to hide, right? And nobody likes it, but, you know, we get used to it, you know. We just get used to it. So people don't like change, but, you know, but when it's forced on you and just, you know, eventually you just get
What do you mean by change? Like, are you saying people don't like change, period?
Well, not, like, you know, depending on the person, you could take it different. You know, everybody would take that opinion differently. And I don't want to change the way. I just want to say it in general. People don't want change in general because everybody's going to take it differently. Like, they're going to hear it and they're going to take it differently. And I don't want to try to specialize it or really marginalize it. Really, you know what I mean? I'm just going to generally say it because, you know, I'm not trying to you know, make it specific or anything. It's just in general, yeah.
Right. Don, what's your comments? Don?
Hey, guys. Yes, I'm here.
Are you back in the geriatric seat?
Yes, I am. This is subject that
this
is
the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
You better talk about the age of Martin Luther King. That's what we've been doing all day. I've been leading the Martin Luther King caravan, and there's the age of Aquarius. They're talking about the change, this is the change. The millennials, the women, the blacks, the Latinos. We're coming to change the freaking Pisces to Aquarius. So that's your change, is that 21,000 years. The 21,000 years means black people are starting to finally take their place again on the pedestal of the kingdom. So there's your age of Aquarius. So today, Martin Luther King, and right now I'm just leaving our Martin Luther King banquet. So it was another successful banquet. And that's what day this is. And so we're talking about it. And you know, Pat is right here. She's yelling in my ear, like, we shouldn't be even worried about the age of Aquarius. Worry about the age of Martin Luther King.
Well, I know, John, but we're trying to be a little cosmic tonight. Now, your buddy Donald Trump dropped a wreath off at a huge MLK monument in D.C. today, but he didn't even mention Martin Luther.
That's right. He's Martin, and you know, that's all right. At least he dropped off a wreath. That's the start. But
he did.
Maybe he, well, he
I wonder who advised him to do that.
It was probably Louis Farrakhan, his friend. You know, he likes those people who are dictators. So probably Louis Farrakhan. But you know, Louis Farrakhan, he can talk to Donald Trump. All right, have a good one. He can talk to Donald Trump all he wants.
They had a dinner for Martin Luther King in my town, plus a march today. And mind you, it was 11 below zero, so whoever marched sacrificed. And they had a breakfast today.
Yeah, in our caravan, we had to worry about 29 degrees, 30 degrees, and fresh snow that was turning or just starting to melt from ice last night. So we were in a similar situation, but it was a little different because we drive one historic caravan. It's the only one in the country. So that's what they're doing. That's great. But I was listening to The Age of Aquarius, and it's coming. And you can feel it. You can see it. Everybody who's millennial is low. They're going to make sure that it happens. So
let me ask Wade and Albert, do you guys think we already know that we have the technology to blow up the world, and we've had it since the 40s, but maybe there will just come a time where the stresses of the earth become too great and people will just start breaking down the barriers and loving each other again, like what happened in the 60s with the Jesus movement and the anti-war movement. Like, something's going to give.
Were people really loving each other in the 60s?
From
what I heard about history,
yes.
There was a lot of hating each other back then, no?
Well, you know,
there
was a real Jesus movement. The young people
grew
long hair. They were baptizing each other in rivers. It wasn't just a drug scene. There was like a real freedom and sense of love. And like, there was... It was a sense of community, and
high on Jesus.
There was a newly emerging society that grew, and in regards to the war, a separate community grew. It was called the SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society, where they had gatherings and sit-ins where people would just sit and learn, and then there was the whole Hate Ashbury movement, but. Like I said, it wasn't just about anti-war. It was about people trying to force their governments to recognize what humanity was all about. And I'm sure it happened in other countries, not just the U.S. Oh, by the way, Ben's been on the line 10 minutes. Ben, I'm sorry. I'm going to pull you in. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Sorry that we ignored you, but... we do only have 25 minutes of the show left, but we are doing another show tomorrow night for John. So what have you been thinking about this discussion, Ben?
Oh, there's, to get supernatural, there's lots of reasons why people would embrace a big earth-changing event. I mean, there's lots of reasons. There's people who are ultra-religious who almost live in a it's a different state of mind when you put a higher bearing on the supernatural world than you do on your reality. So there's a lot of people that would embrace, a life-changing or earth-ending event as a good thing. And then there's other people who feel like they're waiting for some sort of a great equalizing event because they feel like the earth is oppressing them in some way. So there's a lot of different reasons why.
Like there has to be some form of release. Well, I liked how you described that beginning part. The thing is, let's talk about one thing. You know how we always talk about power brokering and people think 1% controls the world, but really each person is a living, breathing soul on the earth. And we all have the power to wake up and change our day. So I don't really believe that the 1% controls the whole world. But what I do believe is that, like I was telling Wade about the Jesus movement in the early 70s, and then we didn't mention the running craze, but I'm just saying, like, there have been epiphanies where people come together collectively, like, for kind of like a cosmic regrowth, for lack of a better term. And I do think that we're capable of doing something like that beyond our government. What do you think?
Yes. I saw something really cool this week online. I was doing some research and interested in different ways to what things are out there. And there's a thing called, they call it woofing. It's an acronym for something. But anyway, it's a website that for people that want to travel, if you can stay for free and work at help with a organic farm and get to stay there for free when you travel. Or if you have an organic farm, you can get help from people who just are willing to exchange help. And it's like, I'm a believer in let's empower people. Like, let's get up and we can clean the place and we can do what needs to be done. And we don't have to wait, like, you know, people, when's the government going to do this? Stop waiting for them. And they're going to do it really poorly, too. Let's do it ourselves.
Yeah, and then we could mention another thing, like, with the concentration of looking to the stars and the planet for guidance. Like, what do you guys think about that whole aspect of, I heard something about Trump wanting to cultivate energy from Mars or something, or as a military backdrop.
Right.
Could you explain that, Ben? Because I haven't really been following it.
So,
like, are we really able to cultivate the galaxy for human purposes? Or is it just like some far-out idea?
Well, we've been going to the moon for a very long time ago. I mean, you know, and if we kept on going to the moon, I'm pretty sure we could have been at Mars a long time ago. I mean, at the speed of where we're traveling, we're going extremely slow. I mean, I'd probably be dead before long before they even settle anything in the moon. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't.
Well, it's also cold and barren there. Like, it takes a lot of energy and money to do something up there.
Well, it takes money. I mean, we got the technology. What mostly is just taking is money and politics. That's what mostly is just. That's the most of the problem.
Right.
So I wanted to bring.
Well,
I wanted to bring something up. There was a couple things in the news that were not the whole country caught this, but did you hear about the terrorist attempt against Trump? The assassination attempt.
No, because I've only watched the news one day this week. I hate to tell people.
Okay, well.
So what's the deal?
What's the deal with it?
Huh?
So they caught a guy that had a plan to take out Trump and Pence, and he tried to trade his vehicle for some anti-tank rounds. To some undercover FBI agent. And he had a hand-drawn map of the layout of the White House. And so they caught him. But another thing that happened was Donna Brazile sent out a tweet. And you guys remember who Donna Brazile is, right?
Yeah, I know who she is. She was the head of the DNC for a while, I think.
Yeah, she was the one that gave Hillary the questions to the debate.
Yep, she did, and she also wrote a personal memoir book.
All right. So anyway, she sent out a tweet that said, hashtag Madam Speaker today, hashtag President Pelosi shortly thereafter, hashtag MLK weekend is underway. Keep hope alive. So shortly after that tweet, I think was when they caught him. Pelosi was heading out.
Kind of sounds like the House of Cards when that guy, Kevin Spacey, killed somebody.
You're gonna confuse yourself. Okay. So shortly after that, Trump sent out that letter stopping Pelosi from going on a secret, unannounced trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan. She was about to head out with...
Yep, I heard about that, Ben.
I think it was around 80 people that she wanted to bring with her, but Trump stopped her from that trip, made it a public awareness. He said, by the way, basically...
He was pissed off because she asked him to delay the inauguration, the State of the Union address.
Well, stay with me here. Donna Brazile sent this tweet saying President Pelosi shortly thereafter. So if Pelosi was headed on a trip to go meet with our military and people in Brussels and Egypt, like, did Donna Brazile know that there was going to be an attempt that could have possibly taken out the line of succession that would have left Nancy Pelosi being our president when she got back here? Because the plan was to take out Trump and Pence. Wouldn't that have made Nancy Pelosi the next one?
Yes,
in the line of
it would have made the Speaker of the House the president.
How is the FBI always able to stop the assassination of terrorists that are going after big politicians like Donald Trump? But when terrorists go after not important individuals, somehow, you know, they slip through the cracks, and they commit the, you know, the crime, and they kill a lot of innocent
people.
Well, wait,
Albert, since we only have about 10 minutes left,
and then we find out that they were on the FBI list.
First of all, we only have 10 minutes left. Now, there's probably 100 attempts every month on Trump's life that we don't even hear about. So, I guess. Ben, why don't you answer what Albert's scenario was or impact?
I'm just wondering if Donna Brazile knew something more, and if this tweet was sent out there purposely as a coded message to her own side. I don't know, but it does seem odd that I think when Kennedy was killed, the line of succession was out of the country also. So this just seems like a replay attempt at getting rid of not only the president, but the vice president also, which would have left Nancy.
Well, that is scary, and when someone who is supposedly legitimate on some level tweets, like, even if it was just a wish that Trump would get out of the way, it's disturbing.
Mm-hmm. And just on a quick note, I mean, Kennedy was killed, then his brother, and then his, you know, and then there was another attempt to assassinate on his third brother, and then his son was murdered. So, you know, the list goes on. So, I mean, that should not really count because it's called the Kennedy curse. So they, you know, the whole family went.
Well, let's not bring the Kennedys up when we only have a 40-minute show.
No,
so
I just want to add a quick
we're talking
note.
About
just,
right
just,
now,
just,
like, is
just a
if,
quick
if,
note
if
on
Trump,
the
if a coup d'etat,
really
if a coup d'etat were, see, when Kennedy died, it still stayed in the hands of the Democratic Party, and Johnson went on to do a lot of reforms, including some of the most major significant social programs of our of a half century. So it's not really comparable about than a dark.
Not necessarily. George Bush Sr. was head of the CIA then. And if Kennedy wasn't killed, I mean, that changed the entire path of our history, because George Bush Sr. became president eventually. And if he had something to do with JFK's death...
Well, I know you've talked about that theory before,
right,
Ben, but all I'm saying at that particular time, it was the death of the Kennedy was a central historical event, kind of like the beginning and end of World War II. World War II was like the epicenter event of the whole 20th century, and it changed the course of modern history. But what I'm saying is the power structuring and the power transition of it going into Johnson's hands, it did not really change the policies of the American government that much.
Or did it? I mean, you can't be the one to tell me that, because you don't know. You don't know how involved the CIA was in our presidential line after that.
Well, I didn't really want to get into it. We were trying to talk about Trump and what the meaning behind Donna Brazile's tweet was.
The only reason I brought it up was because at the time, the line of succession, the next one in line was out of the country at the time. That's the only reason I brought it up.
Okay. Well, when they were advertising that story on TV, it was like Trump was pissed at Pelosi because she wanted him to delay the State of the Union address because of the government shutdown, so he pulled the rug on her trip because he was pissed off at her. That's pretty much the watered-down version of the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Her reasoning was lack of security. Isn't that odd that she had a concern for his safety when there was an assassination attempt, along with the other evidence of Donna Brazile's tweet? That's not such a far stretch, I mean, to make those connections. It's just an odd thing for her to be concerned for his safety when she was headed out of the country anyway, and along with Donna Brazile's tweet. Can you see what I'm picking up of all of these things together?
Yes, I understand. It's disturbing, you're right. But the fact of the matter is, when you and John bring up these threaded theories, so to speak, or these loose confederation of facts, is it really as dark as it seems?
No, I didn't tell you any theory. I told you certain facts that may have a connection. I didn't give you a theory, and I didn't say anything false.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. It seems like those Q drops always seem like an advent of disaster. That's what I was trying to say.
I didn't say anything about a Q drop. This is all public information.
Okay, well, let me just shut up then, because I'm off base tonight. Okay?
Okay, there's one more thing I want to bring up, and then I'll shut up. So the Fast and Furious scandal is way bigger than people thought. It's way deeper. It goes beyond Obama and Eric Holder. The Fast and Furious scandal will be reopened, and you'll be probably hearing about the name Carlos Salinas quite a bit in the near future.
Really?
So just a heads up for you guys. You can probably do some research on Carlos Salinas and find out that he ran away to Ireland, and you can search for how much missing money he was after, and that might keep you ahead of schedule on what our Justice Department is trying to answer questions about right now. But we might see something reopened with Fast and Furious having to do with Carlos Salinas.
Okay, it sounds really interesting, and I will keep on the radar for that stuff. Albert, Wade, or Don, do you have any comments? Because we only have 5 minutes of the show left.
Well, just
I think
on
you
that
should play the song.
I mean, they lost a lot of guns. And then they got a new bunch of mobsters. And I think it just, I mean, if the, let me put it this way. If the politicians have more, how do you say, like, oh, yeah, there's more gangsters and Mexicans crossing the border. Now we got a reason, you know, build the wall, you know. So, you know, Fast and Furious, what happened there, it really benefits people like Donald Trump's agenda.
Right.
There's a lot more than just the guns going back and forth. There's something called the Arizona Mafia that was having, there's going to be the first immigration center put there with Mexican officials working on our soil along with our immigration people. So that's kind of there's a lot more to it. It's not just the gun trade. That's like nothing compared to as big as it is.
Hmm.
Any final thoughts, Don? Don Gallimore, did you fade into the Martin Luther King mode again? Okay, well, anyways, you guys, we have 3 minutes left, so somebody talk. Dead air is not popular.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
I'm going to go start singing the Fifth Dimension.
Yeah, you should play that. That would be good. Yeah, I heard someone, a lot of this sounds like the Emerald Tablets, a lot of this stuff, a big Eekpox, and someone did a big, long animation talking about the history of this legend that they found these tablets under under the pyramids of Egypt. They found these Emerald Tablets, and they disappeared, kind of a like the Mormon thing, you know. So, but it was interesting where they had this idea that society used to be smarter, and like you were playing on the recording earlier, and we lost our awareness and stuff. So that's pretty interesting. Back to astrology and huge episodes of time. Someone pointed out Jesus was talking a lot about fish because they were entering the age of Pisces.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. And he was at the beginning of the Pisces era, too.
That's what they say, yeah.
Because it happened 2,150 years ago and ended in 2012. So that was, within 100 years of Jesus' birth and death was the age of Pisces.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting look. But also, I mean, he was spending a lot of time with fishermen, so there's that too.
Yeah, when I watched that video a few nights ago, they said the Pisces era, like, both Aquarius and Pisces are water-bearing signs. So it has to do with cleansing, but also turbulence, like storms and seas. I couldn't remember specifically what it was about. But we are having a part two tomorrow night, so if you guys want to join us at the same time, you're welcome. Otherwise, the premium will be paid by Sunday, and we will be having a Sunday show this week too. So right now we're just doing mini shows. Any final comments before we get cut off?
That's okay. I'll join your show, even with or without the premium.
Okay, well, tomorrow night we're doing a 45-minute show. We're about to be cut off.